Welcome to XY Files Podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Veedma. With a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility, this is episode 7 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered medications, substances, and lifestyle factors that quietly kill your testosterone. Today, we're getting into what are the main low testosterone symptoms. That last episode was about causes that turn the volume down on the hormone system without a man realizing it. Opioids do it, excess alcohol can do it, sleep loss does it, weight gain, insulin resistance, some antidepressants, and a few other very common things can do it too. Today is where that becomes real life. What does it actually feel like when testosterone is low enough to matter? The mistake I see almost every week is not that men ignore their bodies. It is that they explain each symptom separately. Low energy must be work. Worse erections must be stress. Bigger waist must be age. Poor recovery must be bad sleep. Sometimes those explanations are true. Sometimes all of them are partly true. But when the pattern forms, you want to notice it before it becomes your new normal. If you want the clearest symptoms of low testosterone, think sexual first. Reduced libido, erectile dysfunction, loss of spontaneous or morning erections, those are the most specific clues we have. And that has been pretty consistent across the literature. The European Male Aging Study and the 2010 New England Journal of Medicine paper that came out of it showed that sexual symptoms were much more tightly linked to androgen deficiency than vague complaints like feeling tired or less upbeat. And this matters clinically. Persistent symptoms become meaningful when they line up with proper morning testing. Total testosterone below 350 nanograms per deciliter or free testosterone below 100 picograms per milliliter. Morning means 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Not after lunch, not after a brutal workout, not after a bad night and 3 energy drinks. Libido is sexual desire. Fairly simple. Erectile dysfunction means difficulty getting or keeping an erection firm enough for sex. Morning erections, or spontaneous erections, are the erections that happen during sleep or on waking, without conscious sexual stimulation. They are especially useful because they are less influenced by relationship tension, performance anxiety, or a bad date night. They do not read text messages. They do not care whether you had an awkward conversation at dinner. Last month, a man in his early 40s came in, talking about fatigue and brain fog. That was his opening line. Very common. Once we got further into the visit, it turned out his interest in sex had dropped a lot. Erections were less reliable, and morning erections had basically vanished. He had not mentioned any of that at first because he assumed it was private, maybe stress-related, maybe just getting older. That shift in the story matters. Fatigue alone is a wide door. Fatigue plus the sexual triad is a much narrower and more useful signal.
There are other sexual changes that count, just with less specificity. Fewer sexual thoughts, less frequent sex than is normal for you, less masturbation, delayed ejaculation. I pay attention to those. But if those show up alone, they overlap with stress, depression, sleep deprivation, medication effects, relationship factors, and about half of modern adult life. They matter more when they travel with lower libido, weaker erections, and the loss of morning erections. And I want to be very clear on one point, because a lot of bad hormone medicine starts here. Hypogonadism is a clinical syndrome. It is not a lab result by itself. It requires both persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence. A low number alone is not a diagnosis. Symptoms alone are not enough either. Now, the reason many men miss the diagnosis is that the symptoms that push them to seek help are often the least specific ones. They say, I'm exhausted, I'm more irritable, I can't focus, I'm working out, but the results are fading, my waist keeps growing, and I don't feel like myself. Those symptoms are real, they matter, but they are not unique to low testosterone. The Endocrine Society guideline makes this point direct. Fatigue, low mood, poor concentration, and sleep disturbance overlap with depression, thyroid problems, anemia, chronic illness, obesity, sleep apnea, and normal aging. If you tried to diagnose low testosterone from fatigue alone, you would accidentally diagnose a very large percentage of men with young kids, long commutes, and late emails. Physical symptoms usually show up first as reduced function, not as some dramatic movie scene where a man suddenly loses all strength.
just stops choosing vigorous activity. Recovery after exercise gets slower. He feels stiffer. He notices he does not bounce back the way he used to. He may say he has less endurance walking long distances, or that bending, kneeling, and moving around feels harder than it should. In more severe deficiency, some men can get hot flushes, though that is not the typical presentation in everyday clinic. The gym analogy works because men understand it immediately. Low testosterone often feels like training with the parking brake slightly. The program is similar, the effort is still there, but weights feel heavier than they should. Recovery drags, and lean mass is harder to keep. Then the waist creeps up anyway. Psychological symptoms are just as common. Low mood, irritability, decreased motivation, fatigue, concentration problems, memory complaints, sleep disturbance. A 2019 meta-analysis in JAMA Psychiatry found that testosterone treatment was associated with improvement in depressive symptoms in some men. That is useful, but it does not turn mood symptoms into a diagnosis. When I was younger in training, I gave mood complaints more diagnostic weight than they deserved in endocrine problems. I was wrong. Mood matters, absolutely. It just does not point cleanly to testosterone unless the rest of the pattern fits. One reason all of this gets missed is that low testosterone rarely arrives like the flu. It creeps in. Men normalize it. A little less desire, a little more abdominal fat, slightly worse workouts, more brain fog, slightly worse sleep, a shorter fuse. None of it dramatic, all of it explainable. Months later, or a few years later, you wake up in a body and routine that feel dimmer than they used to.
An obesity reviews paper from 2015 laid out the relationship between lower testosterone, reduced lean mass, and increasing visceral fat. In clinic, men do not describe that in academic language. They say, I'm doing mostly the same things, but my body is not reacting the same way. One of my patients said, I still go to the gym. The gym just doesn't come with me anymore. Fair description, honestly. The gradual nature of the symptoms is why men over 30 with reduced libido, erectile dysfunction, loss of morning erections, fatigue, and rising waist size should be evaluated, rather than reassured that it is just aging. Aging is real. Hormonal decline can be part of it. But aging is not a diagnosis. It is just a word people use when they have stopped asking better questions. Timing also changes how testosterone deficiency appears. If the problem starts before puberty, the presentation is very different. Delayed puberty, limited development of facial hair and other male secondary sex characteristics, slower genital maturation, sometimes relatively longer arms and legs compared with the trunk, because normal pubertal hormone exposure was absent or delayed. That pattern often points toward congenital or genetic causes, not the more common adult onset picture. Adult onset hypogonadism is harder to spot because it is subtle and slow. The decline tends to show up as lower libido, weaker erections, poor recovery, fatigue, and body composition changes. That is exactly why our next episode is about how symptoms show up differently at every age. A 19-year-old and a 49-year-old can both have low testosterone, but the story they tell is not the same. A quick word about questionnaires, because men often ask about them. ADAM, AMS, QADAM, these tools can help. I use them the way I use a checklist before a long drive. They help you remember what changed. They give us a baseline. They can help track symptoms over time. What they cannot do is diagnose hypogonadism. The problem is false positives. A man with poor sleep, a stressful job, weight gain, thyroid disease, depression, or medication side effects can score high on one of these questionnaires without having testosterone deficiency. I have seen plenty of men light up every box on a symptom survey while their hormone issue turned out to be untreated sleep apnea, an SSRI, or a thyroid problem. The questionnaire was not useless, it just was not the diagnosis. Sometimes symptoms come with red flags that tell you to look deeper and faster. Headache and visual changes can point toward a pituitary problem. Loss of smell can be a clue for congenital hypogonadotropic hypogonadism. A history of undescended testis matters. Gynecomastia can be a clue to primary testicular failure, including conditions like Klinefelter syndrome. Those are not vague wellness complaints. Those are directional signs. I remember a patient who initially framed everything as low energy and poor sex drive. Only later in the visit did he mention intermittent headaches and some trouble with peripheral vision. That changes the whole conversation. Now you are not just asking whether testosterone is low. You're asking why the signaling from the brain might be off. That distinction matters. Comorbidities make the picture messier, but also more important. In men with type 2 diabetes, erectile dysfunction is very common. A large meta-analysis in Diabetic Medicine showed just how common. But ED in diabetes is often multifactorial. Blood vessels, nerves, obesity, hormones, all of it can be in the same room at the same time. The mistake is to call it vascular and stop thinking. The same is true with depression and metabolic syndrome. Depression can reduce disease
desire, energy, motivation, and concentration. Low testosterone can worsen those same complaints. Metabolic syndrome amplifies almost every category of symptom. Less energy, more abdominal fat, worse sexual function, lower activity tolerance. In real practice, the most common pattern I see is functional hypogonadism. There is no structural damage to the hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis. It is intact, but suppressed by reversible conditions like obesity, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, and medications. That is where the testing becomes very important, because treatment depends on classification. If symptoms persist, do proper morning labs, total testosterone by LC megasiemens per megasiemens, free testosterone measured directly by equilibrium dialysis with LC megasiemens per megasiemens. We prioritize free testosterone because it helps us avoid missing men whose total testosterone looks borderline or even acceptable, while bioavailable hormone is still not where it should be. And at the same time, LH and FSH must be checked, always. Without LH and FSH, you cannot tell primary from secondary hypogonadism. If LH is high and testosterone is low, that points to primary hypogonadism. The testes are failing to respond. If LH is low or normal and testosterone is low, that points to secondary hypogonadism, where the brain is not sending enough signal. And if LH is below 8 with low testosterone and symptoms, especially in functional hypogonadism, then clomiphene is our first-line therapy, because the testes are still capable of responding. That difference is not academic. It changes treatment. And clomiphene works by blocking estrogen feedback at the hypothalamus, which increases GnRH and LH, and then stimulates the testes to produce testosterone naturally. It preserves spermatogenesis and fertility, maintains testicular function, and generally carries lower hematocrit than TRT. It is not appropriate for primary hypogonadism, because if the testes cannot respond, pushing harder on the signal will not fix the problem. TRT has a role, but it is reserved for primary hypogonadism or for secondary hypogonadism. It does not respond to enclomiphene. TRT suppresses gonadotropin and spermatogenesis. It is a major issue for men who want fertility. It is also not something we prescribe. Our clinic focuses on a thorough diagnostic workup, medically reviewed lab interpretation, individualized plans, and oral therapy with enclomiphene. Or the enclomiphene plus tadalafil combination tablet when erection or urinary symptoms are all part of it.
Lifestyle still matters, obviously. Weight loss, better sleep, medication review, treatment of diabetes and sleep apnea, resistance training, all of that can help. But the effect on testosterone from lifestyle change alone is often modest, around 1 to 2 nanomoles per liter in many cases. And a large percentage of lost weight returns within a few years. Real life is stubborn. In functional hypogonadism, lifestyle plus enclomiphene is often a more durable first-line approach than waiting for a perfect transformation that may never arrive. A few common mistakes show up again and again. First, a lot of guys hear fatigue and assume that fatigue alone proves low testosterone. It does not. Fatigue belongs on the list, but it is one of the least specific symptoms we have. Sexual symptoms carry more weight. Second, men dismiss morning erections as irrelevant. They are not irrelevant. They are one of the most useful clues because they are less shaped by stress, confidence, or relationship context than many other sexual symptoms. Third, some men think one low lab result settles the question. It does not. A single low number, especially from an afternoon draw or a questionable assay, is not enough. You need persistent symptoms, proper morning testing, and repeat confirmation when appropriate. You also need LH and FSH at the same time. Otherwise, you do not know what you are treating. Fourth, older men and men with diabetes often assume erectile dysfunction is just aging or just blood flow. Sometimes it is partly those things, but hormones may be in the mix, and missing that can leave the full problem untreated. Fifth, a positive symptom questionnaire does not mean you need hormone treatment. It means you have symptoms worth sorting out. That is all. Good medicine starts with sorting, not guessing. If you are trying to be practical about this, do 4 things. First, pay attention to the pattern, not just one symptom. Track libido, erection quality, morning erections, energy, mood, recovery, and waist size over time. A month of observation is often more useful than one dramatic bad day. Second, if the pattern fits, test correct. Morning draw between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. Total testosterone, free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC megasiemens per megasiemens, LH, FSH, estradiol, EBC, comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, PSA if you're 40 or older, and insulin, your BMI is over 25. When clinically indicated, lipids, prolactin, and TSH also matter. Third, classify the problem before talking treatment. Total testosterone under 350 nanograms per deciliter or free testosterone under 100 picograms per milliliter plus persistent symptoms is the threshold we use to decide whether deficiency
biopsy is clinically meaningful. Then LH and FSH tell you whether the problem is primary or secondary. Fourth, get follow-up. Hormone care is not a one-time lab intervention. When treatment starts, labs should be checked for the first month, then every 6 months. At VIVMA, licensed providers can review existing outside, including panels you already have, or arrange the right workup across the U.S. and adjust the plan over time. Next time, we'll get into how low testosterone symptoms show up differently at every age. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss
it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free or order labs through our special offer at VIDMA.com.